I want to think about four words from today's Advent passage, and those four words are road, water, fire, and axe. Okay, those four words, road, water, fire, and axe. I started watching last night, fairly late on, a new TV program on Netflix. Anybody got Netflix? No, just me. Okay. Thanks, Anne. Thank you. There's one person in the church who got Netflix. The Crown, in case you haven't seen it, Anne. You watched the whole series. Okay, right. Does it keep getting as good as the first episode? There we go. History of our Queen. And it's had very good reviews. I watched the first episode last night, and it really caught my imagination. It's quite an interesting program. But one of the bits of it, one of the sort of bits of history that, you know, being the young age that I am, I wasn't quite so aware of, was when King George was taken ill and he was operated on and they removed one of his lungs. And then the doctors didn't actually tell, well, according to the program anyway, the doctors didn't seem to tell him at the time that they had suspicions that there was cancer in his body and that actually his time was short. So he was recovering from this operation and coming back to public life. And after several weeks of recuperating in Buckingham Palace, which had been turned into a hospital, he then entered back into public life. And there was this great acclaim. The king has returned. The king has recovered from his illness. The newspaper headlines, the country rejoices. And of course, there's the first entry, the first rather trip out of Buckingham Palace. And the cavalcade is heading down the road, the car with the king's crest at the front, and the crowds cheering, welcoming George back to public life. The king has returned. The way was made straight. The roads were cleared. The people stopped what they were doing. They came out. They got themselves ready to welcome the king back again. And it strikes me that John the Baptist was doing something similar when he was getting the road ready for Jesus, where he was getting the road ready. Make straight the paths, he says. And he calls these warnings to people. Get ready, the king is coming, the king is returning. Are you ready? You need to repent, you need to turn away from the wrong that you've done. And of course, John realized, and it seems that lots of the people realized that they were not ready. They were not ready for the king to come. The road was not clear. It was scattered with rubbish. If we switch the metaphor for a moment, if you had an important person coming round to your house for dinner, and then you suddenly realize you hadn't tidied up, you were not ready. That's the position that the people of God found themselves in. And that's why they came out to the desert in their droves to the baptism of John, to come and be baptized by him, because they knew themselves that they were not ready. Their hearts and their minds and their lives were not ready for the king, for the Messiah to return. So that's the road. Water then. They realized they were not ready, and so they came to John's baptism, to the baptism of repentance. John talks about repentance and fruit in keeping with repentance. And this word repentance, we use an awful lot, don't we? It very simply means turning around or changing your mind. And of course, our acts, our fruit, has to follow that changing of our mind. It's not simply that we think differently. In thinking differently, we have to also act differently. And this baptism of repentance involving water involved the people coming into the Jordan and being submerged and arising out of that water with those sins being washed away. Water is essential for life, isn't it? We can't go for more than a couple of days, if that, without any water to drink. Otherwise, death will come to us. Don't know if anybody's been watching Planet Earth. I sound like a TV addict today, don't I? That is on BBC, so you can watch that, okay? Absolutely fantastic, this latest series of Planet Earth. And the one which really struck me was the desert. And it was very evident in that canticle we read, the desert will burst into life. There was this sped up image of the dry, arid desert. And then the waters come, the rains come, and the desert literally springs into life. You must watch it. It's quite remarkable. And water brings life. That was the water that John was using in that baptism to bring life to the people of God who had to get themselves ready. But of course, water doesn't just bring life, does it? Water can also be a very different thing. It can bring death as well. We haven't got to think very far back to our summer where we saw a series of tragic instances around our coastline, not far from us in Camber Sands, where I think it was 4 young men drowned on the same day. Water can be incredibly dangerous and can bring death as well as life. And actually, John's baptism, as our baptism, is a baptism of both. It's a baptism of life and of death. It's a baptism where we drown our sins, where we drown our old life. And that's what John was calling the people to do, to come and to bring their brokenness and their sins and to drown them in the Jordan and to leave them there, to leave them behind. The water of death then becoming, as they raise up, the water of life and a fresh beginning and a fresh start. But it was no coincidence that John was baptizing these people in the River Jordan. About 1,000 years previously, the people of God had entered the promised land by crossing through the waters of the Jordan to the land that God has promised. And in baptizing the people in the Jordan, John was pointing towards that event and saying, the one who's coming, the one whose way we're preparing for in this baptism is the same God who brought you to the promised land, but now he's bringing you to a new promised land, a new kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And this is not a geographic land. This is a land where God's rule and reign will be full and complete. Catch that image in Isaiah, don't we, in that first reading, where God's rule is complete. They pass through those waters to prepare themselves for the coming Messiah who will bring that rule and that reign. So that's repentance. And part of the image of repentance is not just a turning around and a changing of minds, but the Hebrew word for repentance also carries with it something of a homecoming, returning home. Don't know when you were last at the arrivals lounge in the airport, and you see those wonderful reunions, don't you, sometimes, the family reunions, people who've been away from one another for a long time, and you've got the family there with the signs, welcome home, Jim, or whatever it is. Then you've got the little children who run and just throw themselves at whichever lucky relative has come through those gates. There's a sense in repentance of a coming home. We wander far, just as the lost son did, to the lost country, to the faraway country. In repentance, we come home to God. We come home to his embrace. So road, water. And then the final two, fire and axe. Not quite so comfortable. John talks about fire quite a lot. Well, Matthew talks about fire quite a lot in this reading. We have the sort of garden bonfire where the tree is cut down. I'll talk about that in a moment. We have John saying that Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But what starts John off on this kind of route is he catches sight of the Pharisees and he doesn't hold back. He says, you brood of vipers, welcome. Imagine them standing up in the moment. Welcome to St. Margaret's, you brood of vipers. It's not the way to make friends, is it? And yet John doesn't hold back because he sees in those Pharisees probably one of the biggest risks spiritually to any of us. He sees them holding themselves as being righteous before God. as being the ones who have got it all worked out, who look at their scriptures and their rules and think, yeah, we're doing pretty well. We're keeping every law. We're managing to do the things required of us. But what John sees and what Jesus saw time and time again is that whilst that was true outwardly, the inward reality was so different. Jesus talks about whitewashed tombstones. On the outside, it all looks lovely and pristine, but on the inside, there's something else. There's a poison. You brood of vipers. And at the very heart of the Pharisees' sin, I think, is pride and judgmentalism. And actually, I think we can see that quite a lot in the church today. Pride and judgmentalism. We're very good at looking outside of ourselves and pointing the finger at others who are perhaps not living in the way that we think they should. Very good at looking outside and seeing the faults in others, seeing how others are not following God as they should be. And we can sometimes feel a bit too self-satisfied and a bit too proud that we're the ones who have got it right. When Jesus comes with the Holy Spirit and with fire, one of the things I think we need to allow him to do is to burn up the rubbish in our own lives. We need to have a bonfire of that judgmentalism. We need to have a bonfire of that pride and allow him to burn up the chaff and the rubbish in our lives to clear the roads and to make way for him. John talks about repentance and fruit in repentance. And if you think about that image of the garden and the trees in the garden, I had a wonderful, some of you might remember it, a wonderful ornamental cherry tree in the rectory garden that we had to chop down because it was rotten through to the core. It's a slightly different image, but it's a bit more like the Pharisees in a sense. The blossom would come and it was really beautiful, but branches kept falling off it because the trunk had rot going right through to the heart. You couldn't necessarily tell from the outside, but the inside, the heart of the tree was rotten. And John uses the image of the fruit tree that doesn't bear fruit. We are called to bear fruit. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They were not fruitful. They were keeping all the rules, but they were not fruitful. Perhaps you also get the image of the tree that is growing in the garden and crowding out the light, not allowing other things to grow. The Bible talks about pruning sometimes. We need to prune our own lives back. We need to prune ourselves under God. We need to recognize which parts of our lives have become unfruitful. And with him, prune back those parts of our lives, those parts of our lives that have rot in them, that have rubbish in them. We need to prune them back and have a big bonfire. Because the risk is, if we don't, then the axe comes to the tree. Because we cannot go on forever in the same sort of way in being unfruitful. At some stage, at some step, those radical steps by the gardener will be taken. So Advent is a good season to reflect for ourselves. Where are we? Are we ready? Is our road clear? Do we need to drown some sins in the waters of baptism again? Allow that water to be bringing us life. Do we need to have a bonfire with some of the sins and the rubbish in our lives? And do we need to do some pruning? Do we need to do some chopping ourselves of pride, judgmentalism, of other sins that beset us, so we come before God prepared and he doesn't need to take his axe to us? I pray that for each one of us this Advent, we'll be led by him to know where to focus on in our lives, to come nearer to his heart and to come home to him once again. Amen.
Amen.